You're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Well, the last time the Sacramento Kings were in the playoffs, I was pretty obsessed with this movie that this song is familiar with, as it's Like Mike.
This is my favorite movie growing up, by the way.
Was it? Yeah, was it a little Bow Wow, right? As, I can't even remember anybody else that's in that movie, but it was a fun one. And obviously, the Kings, one of the bigger stories from the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs. So we're going to go out to the Progressive guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We bring on James Hamm from ESPN 1320 in Sacramento and the KingsBeat.com. James, thanks for your time. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty well. Were you a big Like Mike enthusiast?
Yeah, maybe not so much, but I can tell you, the last time the Kings were in the playoffs, I only had one son, and he was little. Now I have two, and the one that was born in 2007 can almost drive. So, yeah, this playoff stretch, lack of playoffs, has been long and arduous, especially for those of us who have covered the team here in Sacramento.
So what was it like there? I imagine you were in the building on Saturday night.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I've covered this team for 13 years, and it was absolutely incredible. Fans showed up in droves. They paid exorbitant amounts for tickets. They sang along with the national anthem, which wow. I thought was one of the more unique things I've ever seen. But you could tell the nervous energy in the building, and they didn't know what to do. And the national anthem starts, and they didn't want to be quiet, so they just sang along with the national anthem. And you got 18,000 plus singing the anthem together was really, really crazy. And I thought that they helped carry their team home. It's been a great crowd all year, but it, you know, Sacramento is known for their crowds, especially in playoff time, and it's loud. So good on them. You know, it's going to be a fun game too, because a lot of the fans have bought tickets for game one, can't afford to buy two more tickets for game two. So we're going to have another, you know, 50 or 60% of the crowd will turn over, and a new group will get to experience it. So it'll be fun.
Are we going to get some former Kings, Doug Christie or Mike Bibby, sighting at one of these games?
Well, Doug Christie's on the Kings staff.
Oh, Bobby right. Jackson yeah.
He's on the Kings staff as well. But this last game, Vlade showed up. Jason Williams showed up. Jason Thompson, who people don't know this maybe, that Jason Thompson is the all-time leader in games played in the Sacramento era. So he showed up for game one. I think there will be more in the building for game two, but just really cool to see some of the old guys come out and support the young guys.
All right, so let's talk about this version of the Kings now, as they are up 1-0 on the Golden State Warriors. And I also thought it was pretty cool seeing the Kings be led by a pair of college teammates in De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. And while obviously on a national level we are all used to seeing Klay Thompson and Steph Curry make all those threes, gosh, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk managed to one-up them on Saturday night, didn't they?
Yeah, they were just incredible. And I think they exposed one of the weaknesses of the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors don't really have rim protection. And if you can get past the perimeter and get into the key, you can do a lot of damage. And then once they started to sort of close off the key for the Kings guards, Monk and Fox really started to light it up from the outside. We've seen this a handful of times this season where those two get cooking on the same night. That's, you know, again, when they beat the Clippers 176 to 175, it was Fox and Monk both scoring over 40. And they just have this energy between them. They know where the other one is going to be at all times. They've played together since they were really young. They're great friends. And I think it's really helped Fox become the player he is this year, having that support from a really close friend that sits right next to him in his locker. And, you know, they're really close. And so I think it's been a really cool marriage between these two. And Monk was just electric. And so was Fox. I mean, what Fox did, if he would have hit the dunk when he went in for the left-handed hammer, he would have blown the roof off the building. And then he had a floater that he missed after he shook Klay Thompson almost to the ground. Just his ability to change speed and direction. It's just wild, and, you know, he'll continue to do that throughout the series.
Also for Monk, I mean, how at ease is he now with his situation? I mean, he's a guy that He's bounced around a little bit. He slipped a little bit in the draft in 17, down to 11 with Charlotte. And it just feels like there's maybe a level of comfort that he has in his role now as just kind of a microwave scorer off the bench for the Kings.
Yeah, you know, I think I'll say this too. It's not just his role on the court that he has with this team. If you've ever been around Malik, he is an absolute joy. He's always cracking a smile. He's got jokes all the time. He reminds me a little bit of when we had him on Shumpert here, just this incredible spirit that he brings. And I think he really found it difficult to find his place with veteran teams early on in his career, whether it was Charlotte or even last year with the Lakers. Like he, with the Lakers, it was almost like he was a little brother, right? With the Kings, yeah. He's allowed to have this incredible personality. One of the Kings photographers took a picture of him yesterday at practice that you can see on the internet. And I think it really does capture what Malik has meant to this team. He's just beaming from one ear to the next. And I think he's found not only his role, his niche on the court, but his niche off the court as a glue guy that brings like the levity in, you know, an 82-game schedule when things start to get a little rough and you might lose a game or two. And he's just always bringing that energy. So I think he's really found a home in Sacramento, especially alongside De'Aaron. And again, that connection there is just solid.
Okay, as far as the series now and where we go after Sacramento wins the first game, game two tonight, and you mentioned it, I'm sure all the crowds are going to be great for the Kings because, like you said, it's a different crowd that's going there each night getting to experience things. But the big question that I have is, mentally, are the Kings tough enough to withstand the punches that Golden State's inevitably going to land in this series?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have to wait and see. Do they wilt, you know, when everything that you do just isn't good enough? And, like, I say that because we've seen the Warriors for so many years. I mean, they've won 18 consecutive Western Conference playoff series dating back to 2014. I mean, that's 18 consecutive series. The Kings haven't played a series since, you know, 2006. So it really is crazy if you look at the numbers. But this team has been resilient all year long. We can look at, you know, they didn't lose three games in a row from November all the way up until the final three games of the season when they stopped playing players. They have a resiliency to them. Mike Brown has them prepared. And if you look at game one, you really, you know, study it. And Sabonis had one of the worst games of his career.
Yeah.
And Herter and Keegan Murray combined for 0 of 8 from 3. That's just not going to be the case. And throughout the series, that's not what's going to be what happens. So I think the cool thing about the Kings is they have so many guys that can hit you for 25 or 30, and you can shut the faucet off here and there, but they still scored 126 points with those three guys really having ineffective nights.
Right.
What is it? And so it's possible that Monk doesn't have the 32 points showing that he did in game one, but that's okay. You've got Herter, you've got Keegan, you've got Harrison Barnes. So I think this team is uniquely built to deal with a playoff series where, you know, it's a chess match and you're going to take things away and the Kings have more. They have more to give. So I think it's going to be intriguing to watch and see how they respond.
Kings, let's get you out of here on this. You mentioned Harrison Barnes. What's he been saying about, obviously, I'm sure it's a very emotional series for him. Obviously, he was a part of the core that the Warriors developed and drafted and then was jettisoned when they wanted to make room for Kevin Durant. So how personal is this for Harrison Barnes?
Yeah, I've talked about this. You kind of look at Harrison as, you know, the drummer for the Beatles before Ringo Starr. you know, I think a lot of people forget that he was a really good player for the Warriors. He took a lot of heat and was blamed for the Cavs loss, when they lost to the Cavs in the finals. And then they just went a different direction and brought in KD and kind of left him out in the cold. And so he's been in basketball obscurity for the last 7 years. And this is really emotional. They brought Harrison out first after the last game. And, you know, everyone calls him the senator because he's so buttoned up and so professional. And you could feel it wavering in his voice. You could feel the emotion coming out. And I really felt for him, like it was a cathartic moment to walk in and beat his old team. And again, this is a group that left him behind. And so he right. does have a little extra juice. And he would love nothing more than to pin a loss on him. And I know, like, they're people start talking, oh, you know, maybe Harrison Barnes will go back to Golden State on like a $5 million deal this next year. I just don't see it. Like, there is a certain amount of, you know, I don't know, respect that you have to have for yourself. And Harrison has that tenfold. And, you know, going back to a place that really did treat him a little bit poorly on the way out the door, I don't think would ever happen.
There's James Hamm, Kings insider from ESPN 1320 and the KingsBeat.com, as the battle for Northern California. I guess we can't say battle for the Bay, because I don't know if Sacramento counts as the Bay Area. It continues tonight with Game 2. James, thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.